This is the Food Not Bombs Radio Network.
Coming up today on the Food Not Bombs Radio Network, Native Elders at Big Mountain, a rally to save the last of California's ancient redwood forests, and much, much more as we bring you... Summer of Resistance, Part 4, Autumn Overview. I'm Richard Edmondson. This is the Food Not Bombs Radio Network. Welcome to Summer of Resistance, Part 4, Autumn Overview. Resistance to corporate domination has been the theme throughout this four-part series of ours. We've talked about the struggle against police brutality, the struggles being waged by poor people, workers, and homeless people, and the struggle to free political prisoners from America's ever-expanding gulag. But today we focus on the most crucial struggle of all, the struggle to save the Earth. Just as the Earth is the mother of all living things, so too the struggle to save her, in many respects, is the struggle out of which all other struggles flow. And today we look at that struggle as it's being waged in two geographic locales: Northern California's Headwaters Forest, and the Four Corners region of the American Southwest, where seven families, the remnants of a thousand-year-old civilization, are making a last stand to protect their lands in the face of an onslaught by the U.S. government and the Peabody Coal Corporation.
Well, in the last 20 years, people have been being systematically forced off the land, not being allowed to rebuild their homes or make repairs or have enough of livestock to actually have a livelihood there. And they have lived completely self-sufficiently on the land for a very long time. And the Diné, the people that are sometimes called Navajo, but they call themselves the Diné, they have been living peacefully with the traditional Hopi now for a very long time. They think up to maybe 1,000 years.
This is Nancy Delaney, an activist with the Big Mountain Coalition. Big Mountain is a site in Arizona regarded as sacred by the traditional Navajo and Hopi who live there. The nearby village of Oribe is estimated by archaeologists using carbon dating methods to be at least 1,000 years old. This would make it perhaps the oldest existing town on the North American continent. However, Oribe's inhabitants, in the main traditional Hopi and Navajo, or Diné, stand precariously close to losing their homes to a massive mining project being undertaken by the Peabody Coal Corporation. Peabody has been eyeing the mineral-rich area for years, and for just as many years, the people of Big Mountain have been resisting the giant corporation's efforts to remove them. However, in August of 1997, the struggle came to a head as local police and rangers prepared to initiate livestock confiscations in a bid to force the Big Mountain people off their lands.
The traditional Dene made a pact with the traditional Hopi to protect the land. They see it as their mother, and they don't believe that it should be raped, that it should not be mined and cut open. And so they've been living with medicinal herbs and praying at the springs, but in this century, Peabody Cole came, and with the Mormon Church and with some congressional help, they were able to slowly reap in on the land and on the people, and they created false tribal councils made up of Indian kids who were taken away from their culture and raised in white man schools, and then they came back and they learned the American economy. And now those two tribal councils, the Hopi Tribal Council and the Navajo Tribal Council, have been being manipulated by the Congress and by Peabody Cole. The people who refused to sign the lease are now being targeted, and these people are the most traditional, the ones who are living by that agreement that the traditional Dene made with the traditional Hopi long ago when they settled there. Okay, on Friday evening I received a call from Arlene Hamilton, who works with the Weaving for Freedom Project, and that project helps women, elders who are out on the land who are weaving rugs, to give them a market, to bring the rugs out where people can buy them so that they can stay on the land and continue with their traditional culture.
According to Delaney, the Hopi Tribal Council receives a substantial portion of its revenue from Peabody Coal. And in late August, tribal police began preparations for livestock confiscations against Big Mountain traditionals.
They want them out, and it's their police that are now planning to come with BIA on Friday to the very area where Key Watchman lives in Cactus Valley, which is a part of Big Mountain. They're planning to come there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday and confiscate a large percentage of their livestock. And they claim it's overgrazing, but in fact, the area is so extensive and the number of of sheep that they have is so small that there's just no way that there is any kind of overgrazing. They've been limited by this process of trying to relocate and starve the people out to, I think it's 11 to 12 sheep. Now, there may be a few more sheep. There's also, churo sheep, which are an endangered species. There are some churo sheep out there as well.
Bobby Castillo is an indigenous activist who hosts a program on Native American issues over Free Radio Berkeley. In August, Castillo made a trip to Big Mountain in support of the traditional people there. He spoke with Keith McHenry of San Francisco Liberation Radio upon his return on August 28th.
And I sat specifically with those people there on the land, and I wanted them to be very clear of the kind of what kind of people and who would come. And a peaceful observer and a human rights observer, of course, but someone who is also willing to go to jail and act of civil disobedience, man, you are so needed. You are so needed. The lives of these people who's been there for since time immemorial is now, it's over, and it's going to be taken, and that land is going to be destroyed. Like I said, if people care about human rights, if people care about indigenous peoples, and if people care about the environment, you know, that the Dene people, their genocide is almost complete. The Black Mesa people is who they are. They call themselves that. Quiche, the elder, he explained who they are.
The Black Mesa people of Big Mountain, despairing of ever receiving justice from the U.S. government, are appealing directly to the United Nations. This is Big Mountain elder Quiche Watchman speaking at a gathering of the community.
And their concern today is this last week, when his husband was sick, they just let their sheep wander into the grazing area, and the next thing they knew is that their sheep had been impounded. And so they went through the procedures of getting their livestock back, which is paying up from their own pocket. And she didn't say how much she had to pay for it or anything like that, or how many sheep confiscated and none like that. But when they got the sheep back, they were really arrested. Like they didn't really respect them in a way, of even though they paid for getting their livestock back. But she was really handled roughly. To at one point, she was pushed against the trainer's gate, and she had a sore neck still. From that, you know, kind of she injured her neck a little. And they really handled the sheep and the goats roughly, you know, like throwing one out of the car and just really throwing them around.
There was a request to respect their religious freedom and their right to stay there because they pray at particular springs and they honor the mountains in a particular way, and to force them away means to steal their religion. And so they feel it's a holistic necessity to stay exactly where they are and to continue developing and living this traditional culture that is completely reverential to life.
You know, that, see, now, when you relocate somebody, we ain't talked about where they're going to go.
Right.
You know, and then they want to send them to this Rio Puerco area, and there, man, I mean, they did one of the most massive toxic spills. I mean, in that area, on July 16th, 1979, the largest known radioactive spill took place as 95 trillion gallons of contaminated water and 1,100 tons of sediment poured into Rio Puerco from a uranium mill at Church Rock. Now they want to put these people that they're doing this to, these people who are resistant, they want to put them on that land that has 10 to 100 times beyond the maximum allowable level of radioactivity.
People wishing to lend support to the resistors at Big Mountain are asked to call 510-944-7747. That's 510-944-7747.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
Not far from the Northern California logging town of Carlotta lies an ancient grove of redwoods containing trees up to 2,000 years old. In recent years, a fierce struggle has evolved over the fate of this region known as the Headwaters Forest. The Houston-based Max Am Corporation, headed by controversial savings and loan tycoon Charles Hurwitz, wants to log the area. But for 3 years, the proposed clear cut has been held up by protests and court challenges. This past September 14th, for the third year in a row, thousands of people swarmed into Carlotta in an effort to block Max Am's operation. The date is significant. The 14th is the last day of the nesting season of the endangered marbled murrelette. In this region of Northern California, when the murrelette nesting season ends, logging season begins.
At the end of summer, when the blow rains from the east, we pull our hats on low. We watch the engine rain beat the windows on the streets. We got nowhere else to go. When the wind becomes the dawn, we almost fear to put our boots on. And are you with me, Brother John? How shall we respond to the chocolate Albion? Every summer, the trucks roll down the ridge, full of timber and dread. The truckers just keeping up the payments on the rigs. God knows the kids ain't overfed. But Judy Berry's car was pawned. The FBI just fumbles on. Are you with me, Brother John? How shall we respond to the chocolate Albion?
Protesters set up a base camp several miles outside Carlotta. In the past, protesters here have blocked roads, chained themselves to logging trucks, and climbed into trees. This year, acts of civil disobedience were carried out over a wide area, ranging from the main protest in Carlotta to miles deep into the forest. Many residents of Carlotta, who once supported Max-Am because of the jobs the company provided, now support the protesters. Public opinion shifted last winter when mudslides erupted from a clear-cut area, destroying several homes. This year's protest featured appearances by film star Woody Harrelson and singer Bonnie Raitt. Grateful Dead drummer Mickey Hart.
Why are we here? We're here to raise power. That's what we're here. We're here to beat as one. One voice, one drum, one rhythm. This is important. Now, what does this rhythm say? It's not angry. No, no. When you're angry, you get confused. We are going to send a message to Charles Horowitz, and this message is not a confused one. We want our forest back. You can't take these forests. They're not yours. Look around you. These are alive. These forests are full of life. They're full of rhythm. We went into the forest the other day to find that rhythm. We've come back to give this rhythm to you. It's about life. Charles Horowitz wants to come here. He wants to disrupt this rhythm. He wants to take this rhythm from us. He wants to take these forests. We say, no. We say, it's the rhythm, stupid. Can you say that for me? It's the rhythm, stupid. Come on, again.
It's the rhythm, stupid.
That's right. So, while Charles is out there with his cronies somewhere, we're here doing this. We love these forests, and we're going to fight for these forests. Think of the forest. Send your thoughts to Charles. Give him your best. Say, welcome to your nightmare, Charles.
Many of those who spoke paid tribute to legendary Earth First organizer Judy Berry, who was car-bombed in 1990 and who died of cancer earlier this year. This is longtime Berry companion Alicia Littletree, followed by Earth First activist Daryl Cherney, who was a passenger in Berry's car when the bomb went off.
I'd like to hear a moment of cacophony for the spirit of Judy Berry and the spirit of the ancient redwoods that are still standing because of her work and all of our work over the last 11 years. The last 24 hours have been some of the most challenging and interesting, difficult hours that we've experienced as organizers in the history of this campaign. But part of the joy of doing this work and the joy of working with Judy Berry was her prankster spirit and our prankster spirit as Earth Firsters and our flexibility as Earth Firsters to be strategic when we need to be. Today and yesterday, we have witnessed the full-on mobilization of the corporate capitalist state in Humboldt County. They have shown what they will do and what lengths they will go to protect the corporate interests of Charles Hurwitz so that they can reinforce his right to log the last of the ancient redwoods on private land. And by making that full-on mobilization, they have proven our point that things have got to change. They've shown that this system is enforced by violence, and if you are effective, the full terror of the capitalist state will be used against you. They've proven that. Judy Berry certainly found that out in 1990, and they've shown that to us again today. This has got to change. What we've seen is a mobilization of law enforcement in Fortuna, Scotia, Ferndale, and even on Pacific Lumber's own land. They're using the Yager Creek decks as the staging area for their riot control training. They've come from as far away as Alameda, and the National Guard has been called on to deal with this crowd of people. What kind of a threat do we pose them? Quite a terrible threat. But what we've learned and what we've been told by Utah Phillips is that the one in the fight who pulls out the knife first is the one who is losing. And the reason they're coming out against us is because we are effective. The most powerful tools we have against this kind of corporate violence are our unity, our love, and our nonviolence, our massive nonviolence. But at this point, it would be foolish for us to lean into that knife that they have created for us and to walk into the trap that they've set up for us. And the strategic thing to do at this point is to Aikido, so to speak, the cops who are occupying this county. We want to take them on our terms, where we're strategically blocking the logging in headwaters that's going to begin on Tuesday, September 16th, with the end of marble murrelet nesting season. So we have a plan, and Daryl's going to share that with you.
On my left, your right, is Mike O'Neill. His land, as you already know, has been devastated. Actually, the devastation has come right up to the border of his land and has devastated his neighbors' lands. They've lost their homes, they've lost their security, they've lost their trust. Mike's home was one home away from being trashed by a mudslide. He has requested our help. Because of the atrocious logging practices of Mac Sam, another clear cut has been scheduled to make the slide that happened last year possibly turn into something far worse this year, and Mike wants his land sandbagged. How many people out there are going to join the march past the slide to take a look at the devastation to help us sandbag Mike O'Neill's house? Let's hear a little noise.
Down in Benoyo bars, the fishermen wait on governments and commissions.
They say you can never underestimate the wisdom of the state, dude. Politicians with ambitions gone fishing. So all the senators are fond of standing on the White House lawn. But the salmon are almost gone. How shall we respond to the chocolate Albion? Good old Pacific Lumber went to some out-of-town slick in some Wall Street bunco tees. Now they have to figure out how to pay the interest on the trick. Well, then honor goes to the trees. And now the loggers get up at dawn. Gotta keep their own families strong. But Charles Hurwitz turned and run. How shall we respond to the chocolate Albion? Well, the rock stars and the press make a junket to Brazil, pose with concern on their faces. They got mahogany guitars and records to sell.
They're seen in all the right places, but they really don't belong down there in the Amazon. That's just a multinational con. We got rainforest right here in the chocolate Albion. Judy Berry's dead and gone. We've only ourselves to rely on. Brother John, it's up to you and me. How shall we respond to the chocolate Albion? Thank you very much.
Singer-songwriter Bill Bottrell, thank you.
Figuring prominently in today's resistance movement is the micro-radio phenomenon, which over the past 4 years has seen hundreds of small, citizen-owned radio stations pop up around the country. For the past 2 years in a row, the Headwaters protest has been broadcast live over a transmitter supplied by Free Radio Berkeley. And one night this past August, a DJ at another micro-station, Free Radio Santa Cruz in Santa Cruz, California, set out on a slightly different mission, that of monitoring a police prostitution sting operation and of interviewing homeless people and street youths who had been displaced and driven off by the police operation. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz DJ Skidmark Bob.
Now, I took notice to this when I rode by the 7-Eleven and noticed Officer Orozco, badge number 157 of the Santa Cruz Police Department, in plain clothes outside the 7-Eleven talking to a group of men. And I also noticed Sergeant Clark on the other side of the store outside loitering, badge number 113, Santa Cruz Police. So I decided to stop and watch what was to unveil itself as a sting, a prostitution sting. I've had quite a few run-ins with Sergeant Clark in the past. He also threatened me in a 209 march when I noticed him and his net team infiltrating a 209 march on Santa Cruz Garden Mall in Progressive Santa Cruz, believe it or not. Well, where this tape comes in is August 15th, 1997, on the streets of mostly Broadway at Ocean, where I had a little run-in with Sergeant Clark, as well as some of the audio in the area at the time.
Immediately upon arriving in the area, our DJ found himself approached by Sergeant Clark, who was no doubt concerned about having the sting operation blown by being broadcast over the radio.
Just fine. How about you?
Make sure we keep our traps shut. We won't say anything to our girls tonight or their targets, okay? Because if you do, we're pretty much going to end your weekend.
End my weekend?
I'm just letting you know it'd be cool. Because if you're not, I'm letting you know what the result of that would be.
And what would that be?
You'd go to jail.
Go to jail? What would I be doing? Would I be interfering?
Look at 148 of the Penal Code, pal.
If I say anything?
Anything.
To anybody?
Anybody we're dealing
just
with.
Just to Officer Orozco, right?
No, to anybody.
Skidmark Bob did, however, speak to some folks, a group of homeless youths who had been run out of the area to make way for the police sting.
Did they kick you out, too? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah? So they're standing here is obstructing traffic and blocking sidewalk for pedestrian usage and all whatever they want to make up.
Did they give you any citations yet?
Not yet. I've had a few, and they give everybody one for whatever they want to, for whatever reason they want to.
So it seems. Looks like they're going to take this dog away or something. Something like that.
No, they're giving him a $300 ticket because he wasn't holding his leash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He wasn't holding a leash?
Yep. That's the reason.
Wow. That's interesting.
During our Summer of Resistance series, we've tried to inspire your courage, your humanity, and your love for justice. But most of all, we hope we've inspired you to take up the mantle of resistance yourself. All four parts of our Summer of Resistance series are available on cassette for $18. Send your check to the Food Not Bombs Radio Network, 750 La Playa, L.A., capital P-L-A-Y-A, box 852, San Francisco, California, 94121. That's the Food Not Bombs Radio Network. 750 La Playa, L-A-P-L-A-Y-A, box 852, San Francisco, California, 94121. We'd like to thank Bobby Castillo of Free Radio Berkeley for recording assistance on location at Big Mountain, and Norris Large of San Francisco Liberation Radio on location in Carlotta, California. The music on this program is by Anti-Flag, Ulele, and recorded live at Headwaters Forest, Bonnie Raitt and Bill Buttrell. For the Food Not Bombs Radio Network, I'm Richard Edmondson.
100 years time, starting in 1492. To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today, to the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way, to those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people, to those who left their communities by force or by choice and for generations no longer know who they are, to those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside keeping touch.